Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is July, what's this, 8? 8?
8, yeah. I had to look my damn self. It's the
8th. Yeah. I got it right.
Congratulations.
Yay, no drinks.
No drinks! No.
So we got well, I was gonna say friend to the show, but we got our DMV cousin is back right. On the show.
Live from upstate New York.
Are you upstate now?
I've been upstate since you got married.
Yeah, oh, I thought 3 you still. Years oh, I didn't know you lived upstate. I thought you still lived in the DMV.
Well, I used to be always there pre-pandemic, but now.
So now it makes more sense when you're talking about the whole Trump country. Now it's clearer. Okay.
If you look at her IG, it's her house, and then the next house is like 300 yards. Like, it's mad far. Like, it's so much acreage just
so much,
out there.
So much land.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, do you have like a, you want us to call you like so Amangi, or you want us to call you,
Nah, she ain't coming. I'm not famous.
Well, thank you for coming back on, and thank you for holding me down with the TV shows, because these two niggas here is ridiculous.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are still quarantining.
I'm still in the house.
We love having you. Exactly.
And also, we can have her without you dissing me and Sean. Like, it doesn't have to work like that.
Okay, that's the last. I won't diss y'all again. That was the last. The nigga who disses me all the time. Now two disses, and she's like, "You ain't got to say it all like that." Nigga.
I don't necessarily diss. I say things in love. We've been having this conversation for literally a decade.
I say things in love.
It is love.
They're busy people. I can watch TV all day. They have jobs and lives.
Hold on. I got a job and a life, but I do be watching TV.
We just don't be watching what Jeff be watching.
Exactly.
First of all, we gotta text this nigga to send the topics. He sent the topics an hour and a half
to keep
it on.
At least y'all got topics.
That nigga got 7 hours of TV we ain't watched all week. I told him he want to talk about smoking some ribs and some hogs. I've been watching my YouTube channels, and we can talk about that.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, with this COVID shit, I'm up till 4 or 5 in the morning a lot of nights anyway, so I'm just catching up on shit and watching random TV shit, you know. But anyway, yeah, let's go on and get into this. Well, first of all, how's everybody's 4th of July?
It was interesting.
4th of July weekend, I should say. I know you went to Philly for a type of event.
Yeah, and it's I was trying to sneak my lunch in. I was on mute though. It was interesting because it was the most I've been like out in the world since shutdown. So first I took Amtrak, which means I had to go through Penn Station.
How was that?
In and of itself, it wasn't that bad because I took a Uber down. I was not getting on the fucking subway. I may not get on the subway again until 2021, to be honest. No. But I took a Uber down and I went in on the Amtrak side, on that upper level. So it's not I had to cut through the concourse and everything. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in it that deep. And people were, for the most part, distancing until it was time to board. And then everybody forgets.
They line up and get tight to get down the escalator.
And I was in business class, so that I wouldn't have to sit next to nobody. But it was just really interesting. And staying in Philly, I was right on Market Street, right by the big courthouse that's at the end of Market Street that everybody frames in their pictures and all that other stuff. So I have not been in a downtown area since shutdown, right? And it was still pretty quiet, but like the Walgreens across the street was open and the hotel, I was at the Ritz, they're doing no food service, no restaurants open, no
really?
Room service.
Wow. No room service.
No mini bar, none
You're
of that.
You're supposed to eat.
Well, that was what was interesting. Like, this is the most, like, I had to, you know, do Grubhub and Uber Eats and, like, city, like, Capital Grills across the street. I ordered out of there one night, you know, that type of thing. But even with that, like,
oh, nigga, you was at the nice hotel.
Capital I was at the Ritz.
Across the street, nigga. Oh,
yeah, I was at the Ritz. Oh, but it was still, like, but it was, like, but even for, like, breakfast, it's, like, nigga, I just want to be able to order some scrambled eggs and some toast, and I got to find it. Like, I don't know.
I just want some fresh plates right now. Right.
Some $58 scrambled eggs.
$75 steak and eggs. Right.
So, but it was interesting to see the mix of people who were still really focused on precautions, like, you know, all the staff had a mask on in the hotel. There was one time I had to run downstairs for something. I totally forgot about putting a mask on, you know, and then I felt bad. I had to, like, grab
it. They was looking at you crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also once I realized, I was like, oh, shit, like, let me pull my shirt off. Let me do something. But it was just interesting to see, like, the new normal, for lack of a better word. Like, being reminded not to get on the elevator with more than two people. Mm-hmm. You know, just little shit that was just wiping everything, mm-hmm. all doors, all. So just the fact of, like, being in a hotel, being in and out of a venue, being on and off a train, being in so many cars, like, all of that was just a lot. If it was, like, I was exhausted at the end of the weekend because you have to take, like, five extra steps in every single thing you do.
Yeah.
So, but it has now made me feel a little better. Like, I'll be honest, my nail salon texted, sent out a text on Friday.
They opened up. Nail salons opened up, what, Monday or this weekend?
Monday. So they sent that text that they were opening back up. I made that appointment for Tuesday for that pedicure. But they had their precautions in place. Like, you have to, when you make your reservation, you have to say what chair you want to sit in.
Oh, wow.
You have to say exactly what you want. When you go in, they take your temperature. They ask you to both sanitize your hands and put gloves on before you touch the bottles to pick out a color.
Oh.
And when you sit in a chair, there's, like, this plexi. They have my salon created, like, this little folding plexiglass, like, screen door to, like, close on you so you can see. But there's a plexi between you and
the person
who's
stuff.
Working on you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of, so now I'm like, all right, I'm a little bit back out into the world. My hair salon is opening back up next week. I'm like, am I about to go get this blowout or do I need to just chill? Because it's not like I'm going any fucking where. I just really needed a pedicure. So yeah, that was my fourth. So my fourth was like an adventure. It was like, oh, look, the rest of the world. Oh, the other thing that was interesting about Philly is that mad shit was boarded up. And maybe it's like that here too. Like I said, I haven't been downtown, but like the Wawa was boarded up. Half of the Walgreens windows were boarded up. A lot of places had windows, I guess, from like protest looting.
Yeah,
all of that stuff. Yeah. So I am interested to see if like it's like that in various places. I just haven't been in the city like that.
You ain't been downtown.
Yeah,
not like that here.
What'd y'all do, Inca?
So I bought Travis a grill for Father's Day.
Okay.
And since then, he's used it five times. And the 4th of July, he put some turkey wings on the grill, and they were delicious. And that was our fourth.
And that was it.
Nothing. Yeah.
I gotta say, for the people who don't follow, So Amadi, because that's your tag on the Twitter and Instagram, but the Twitter, I have to say, it's very refreshing to see the expression of Black love that you always because she'll just randomly be like, I love this nigga.
Because it still catches me by surprise. Aww. I was turning into, like, I was 30, almost 35 when we met. So I've been divorced one time. I'm like, listen, maybe I'm just going to be single and fabulous and be Stella and Whoopi in the movie for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my girlfriends have resigned ourselves to that. Like, we're not going to have babies. We're going to travel. We're going to get this money. And then this guy walked into this job that I hated and changed my life one day. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like that. And,
y'all really have like a story out of a movie or like a Black romance book. So can I tell your business? Can we tell the listeners your business? Because it's not like you
have Oh, please.
There.
He is going to love so, this, by the way.
Inca was working at the mall, right? And she's
I had been fired from one job and was now working at Aldo, which I hate.
Right, you were working at Shoe Store.
Oh, that's Steph's brother's spot.
Yeah. So
Aldo.
Trav was in town for a date and got stood up.
Oh, wow.
No,
Rev came to town to see his
and busted his girlfriend and busted her
out.
Right, yes. Right. Trav came to town to see to surprise his long distance girlfriend, take her out. Found out she was cheating. He's in Aldo. He's all sad and weepy and whatever. But then he sees Inca.
Nigga got cheated on and went to Aldo.
But then he sees Inca, and it's like angels start singing and music starts playing. So he asked Inca on a date for that night. He has concert tickets. Where were what was the show, Inca?
Summer 16 tour. It was Future.
Oh, Drake.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a hot show.
So he has tickets. He asked Inca if she
It was a
come.
Very good show. Mm-hmm.
So even though Inca ain't never seen this nigga before, a day in her life,
nope.
She agrees to meet him. She's like, okay, I might be crazy. She agrees to meet him at for the show. She finds out his whole story, and like they were pregnant with Ivy like 3 months later, fucking 4 months later. Like it was
whoa. Okay. A whole lot happened between. Oh Lord, please do not do my whole math because okay. Ivy definitely came 9 months to the day after we met. But
okay,
the point is. We fell in love really quickly, and then
now you're a beautiful black couple with a beautiful black baby.
Yes,
and it's a beautiful life. So I say that to say, you look, shit is real out here. Shit is rough, but you know it is possible.
It is very real.
Anything is possible.
It's possible, and I'm very blessed to not be quarantined with somebody that I hate.
Exactly.
I keep seeing a lot of breakups happen, a lot of Facebook statuses change in the last couple of months. So,
well, it's messy out there. It's messy.
We're happy.
Let's jump into it.
Wait, bro, Sean, did you grill? What'd you make?
I ain't really do nothing. I put on some. A couple pieces of ribs. Nothing. I didn't cook like I normally cook.
You ain't going crazy.
Nah, we ain't do nothing. I went down the street and was talking shit with my boy, drinking in the backyard.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect.
All of my white neighbors had giant parties, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
No mask. All the fireworks.
4th of July is their version of Thanksgiving for us. They go
the people. The people behind us, which is another town. So our street actually borders our town. So behind our fence is an entirely other town. And when I tell you, they was out there like wilding the fuck out.
Going
like, bruh.
Wild.
I was like, I'm giving them to 11 and then I'm going to start calling the authorities. Y'all got to 11. Because this is goddamn it ridiculous.
This is goddamn ridiculous.
And they started to tone down around about 10:30, quarter to 11. So it didn't quite go by 11, but I wasn't going to be that neighbor. And call.
Yeah, well, at 11:01.
Yeah, because they called. The reason I was being a bit of a prick about it was because they called the cops on me.
Yeah, you told me with the basketball thing.
Yeah,
right,
with the kids in the back. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I walked up to Fort Tryon Park, which is up the hill from me.
Was it up there?
It was crazy because there's a little. When you walk into the park, you walk down maybe about 50 yards, and there's like a little.
There's that little open area looks over the water. I go there all the time, and usually it's quiet.
Not the water side, the other side.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And you could see, it was like Macy's Parade. Like, it was, but it's obviously all like people doing it in the street. But like, it was the whole Washington Heights, the whole Bronx. It was just like boom, 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 boom. It was incredible. It was, and they went till I left out of there about 1 a.m. and they were still going strong. I think they went till the sun came up basically because the last little bit of fireworks. I mean, they had to bust the fireworks that whole week. They really turned it up. So I guess the 4th of July night, they was like, we're gonna get rid of all these. But I mean, but these are like looking like professional fireworks. Like it's not like some little bottle rocket.
Yeah, somebody posted a photo from the Hollywood Hills of like
East LA. East LA.
Over and everywhere. They were just pop, like that shit was magnificent to look at actually. Yeah. It was just, I mean, they looked like they were every couple of blocks. It was just bursts of light all over the place.
It's almost, I mean, I know they would never do this, but I was almost like, shit, I like this better than the Macy's shit. Because the Macy's, honestly, only because the Macy's shit is just in one spot.
Right.
So if you can't, like, and it's, you know, you can't work your way over there.
Really, yeah, it's hard to see.
It's hard to get down there, you know what I'm saying? Like, but this is, like, covering the whole city. So you seeing, wherever you are, you can see them. You know, you're in the Bronx, you got your whole Bronx shit. You got Queens, they had their own thing. So I rather enjoyed that. I did enjoy that.
I hope the fireworks are over for you guys.
It's done.
They've been quiet. Yeah, I think the day after the 4th, there was still some noise. And actually, usually, they go for like 3 days after the 4th. So they actually, there would be years like on the 10th. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, shut up. But it seemed, I think they blew their load, you know, before, you know, in all that time leading up to it. So
I kind of, I don't know this for fact, but I almost got a feeling that the cats up here was like, it was almost like some competition type shit. Like we gonna, like our block.
Oh, possible. No, it was.
Yeah. Because they was going hard. They was like, it was like, damn, where y'all get them shit from? Let's talk, let me and get our TV shit off real quick. These niggas don't go on mute. Inka, have you been watching The Chi?
Yes.
Okay, so this is season 3 of The Chi, Lena Waithe's television show. Lots of
Is it season 3 of The Chi? Because what is this show we're watching right now?
Yeah, exactly. Season 1 of some new shit. Because seasons 1 and 2 almost don't exist. It's like they left so many storylines hanging.
So many. Like, I went back and rewatched the season finale to make sure I wasn't tripping.
Mm-hmm. Like,
what is this show doing?
Yeah,
it's a completely different show.
For the people who do watch, let's name some of the things they dropped. So Jason Mitchell's character is named Brandon. We know he got kicked off the show for sexually harassing his coworker whose character's name is Jerrica. Sorry, I don't remember her real name.
Right. Brandon and Jerrica's storyline is done. We got that.
Done. We got that. That was cool. But so Brandon did come on this season. Brandon, at the end of last season, Brandon, who's basically like the lead character in the show, he is on. He decides to cooperate with the police to bring down this guy named Duda, who's like this street guy who's now running for like local office. Is it mayor or something in the city? And he's also on the low doing this huge real estate scam where he's sending people into the hood. He's actually leading the gentrification. He kills this white realtor. He beats up. He has his goons go in and beat up this lady, Miss Ethel's elderly grandmother, and then beat her with an inch of her life. It's a horrible scene to watch because they don't even cut away a lot. They whipping her ass like a man. It's terrible. So he decides to cooperate with the police to bring him down, and then of course his character's gone. And then in this season, it starts and he's dead with no explanation. No explanation. How'd he die? I don't know.
Also, Jerrica doesn't come to the funeral?
Jerrica don't come to the funeral.
The white cop or whatever, he doesn't come to the funeral? Because remember, they had all this history.
Yeah.
And then if the black lady is still investigating, she doesn't come to the funeral. Wouldn't all the people around him be there?
And the people he cooked with, because Brandon was a chef. Then he ended up having a truck, a food truck. Again, we're not gonna bore you with the deep. It's just so many loose ends on this show that they just are ignoring, like they just did not happen, and decided to start a new show.
Too much happening.
And I don't like this. Season. I'm sticking with it because that's what I'll do. Like, I'll keep going. If I get in, I'm gonna see it through. But I don't know what Lena's doing with this thing. And I read somewhere that she was on IG or something, I guess when the season first started, and people were asking her, like, yo, like, what is you doing? like, you left mad shit hanging. Like, what's going on? And she said, well, that's just the way TV works. You don't get to clear up everything.
And I'm like, that's
it's
some bullshit.
Not the way TV works.
And, no. and the thing
because
is, you
even
good.
What we're doing this season is focusing on the kids' storylines.
Yep.
The Wire did that and did
Absolutely.
It very successfully, and still integrated the main story into the kids' lives.
Absolutely.
Where is the main story? What are we doing here? And I also understand. I want to be sensitive when I say this, but I get that Lena Waithe's first blood is activism, and we have to bring all of these issues to the screen. We have to have every representation. We have to, you know, we got to cover the myriad of experiences of Black people, right? Mm. In every Lena Waithe production. But how have we gone this far left and having characters that are already established in the show doing shit that doesn't match
them
for the sake of, is it pushing an agenda? I don't know. Like right now we have, okay, Black girl lost, she's missing, she may be trafficked. We have kid rescued from foster care, but by a drug dealer. We have long lost brother we thought was dead, who is now dating a trans woman who can't just be a woman in the show. There has to be a giant trans storyline for us to, you know, for the characters to be in conflict about, right? She can't just be on the show. Do you know what I mean? And not that I'm, you know, against representation or whatever. But
No. Yeah,
everything feels so heavy-handed.
Heavy and forced, and it feels like Lena decided to take this show and make it the show that she wants to see, and things are like that. Like there was a scene. Look. Like bro says, you know, what do you always say, bro? Who art I or who am I?
Who are me
to judge? But the first episode, the one of the kids' mom is lesbian and she gets married. Fine, whatever. And then
beautiful wedding.
Yeah, we're on the lake and so they show their first their first night together. The wedding night. Her girlfriend pulls her pants down because the girlfriend is the more masculine and has the strap on. Bruh, she has the strap on. And they show them boning with the strap on. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here, man? Like, what is it? Is this necessary?
I am all for
Jeff, okay, I don't watch the show. Right, I don't watch the show, but why is that a problem? There are some lesbians, butch lesbians who wear the strap.
No. That's, and so that, again,
it was gratuitous.
It was the longest scene in the show that season.
That's different. If you're saying it was gratuitous sex, period.
It was.
I just, you know, I need to clarify because we might get some...
I don't think I've ever seen any show with a girl rock the strap on. I've never seen it. And I mean, it was almost like Pornhub.
It was like 7 minutes of a sex scene that we didn't need. We know that they're on their honeymoon. We got that. We know why they're out of the house. Get to the kids and the mischief they're about to get into where the girl goes missing. Isn't that the point of this giant hole in their day?
I thought it was. Look, God bless. I'm gonna stick with it because you know I'm in it. But I don't like the way this season is going at all. And it just period across the board. It's just I'm just like incredulous every time I watch an episode. I'm like, that don't make no sense. What the fuck does that mean?
I do. I heard something. And I mean, it was like an article that was pulled from tweets, so I don't know how reliable any of this is. But the character who played,
I heard this thing. I heard the same thing. Reg. Yep.
So there's some rumor that he left the show because the writers had written in that he would now be with
the trans woman.
A trans woman, right? Which I don't think is. I mean, he's a good actor and he's done other things. I don't know that is a hard line for him. I think. My take on it was like maybe he just thought the storyline wouldn't be true to the character.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
Because like we know who these people are.
Exactly,
right?
You've done the 2 seasons. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Whatever. I watched real quick. I watched Sunday Best on Sunday because I needed a break.
Because
it was just heavy news and shit. I enjoy, you know, I'm a 75-year-old black lady in my heart, so I enjoy my little BT shows with the churching and, you know what I'm saying?
this nigga had a pint of butter pecan.
Or Brian's.
And a do-rag on with the slides.
And some thin mints. And some thin mints. And a house coat. But yeah, it's actually a good show. I'm glad BT brought it back. It's actually well produced. There's some good talent on it this year. So I just wanted to
mention I've never seen that.
It's good.
You've never seen it? It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, it's like American Idol.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, and Kirk Franklin is the host, so he's good. He's very charismatic and funny, and so I wanted to see that. So let's talk a little bit about the.
I forget BET exists.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about BET. Oh. So coming back this week is Love and Marriage Huntsville.
Cannot wait.
I'm ready. We go. That's a mess. We're gonna lock in with that, and then Real Housewives of Potomac is coming back top of August, so we'll lock.
I'm in that too.
Yeah, we'll lock in with that.
Especially since Giselle was back with Jamal Bryant.
Exactly.
I'm excited.
Exactly.
Which also makes me wonder how long she's gonna be able to stay on Potomac, because I believe they're in Atlanta. I think her and the kids are in Atlanta.
Yeah, because that's what she is.
She gonna stay there while that bread is there. they be a set of new fools to
not
give
a set
up
of new fools
to give up what she's clearing on. No, it's easy bread, and I'm also sure that she's probably, you know, the way they probably shoot, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wouldn't work on. She would get drowned on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, no, nah,
she wouldn't make it.
But two things real quick, and to Sean's point, I think Cynthia's spending a lot of time in L.A. Well, with Mike, so I guess Bravo's trying to figure out how to. They had Contessa on Married to the Medicine L.A. because she went to school with two of those cast members. She went to Xavier. So I think Bravo's trying to figure out how to kind of move these people around and make it work.
That's not uncommon. It's not uncommon with networks and particularly in a franchise. Y'all do it a lot.
People from your shows move to New York or to Atlanta, come back. You know. So and then other things. So apparently Monique is going to be a cast member on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Monique the comedian or Monique
the comedian?
Potomac.
The comedian.
Where'd you read that?
I've seen that in several places.
Let me go to Google.
Go ahead.
You heard that from Miss Charlene. You got that from Miss Charlene.
While we was waiting for the fish.
At the bingo hall. When you went to go pick up your fish plate, bro.
Right.
I'm telling you. Not even, please Google that, because I'm telling you.
I'm about to go look right now.
You got that
now.
From Bossip Room, nigga.
Fucking media takeout.
Jasmine
Sandra,
brand.
That shit came from SandraRose.com. Exactly. Let me look.
Go on to Google. I'm telling you, it's the way it was looking, like from wherever I read, it looked like it was pretty much a done deal because Nene's out.
Okay, is Monique replacing Nene Leakes? Let me look and see what they say. Okay, it says rumors have been circulating that Nene Leakes has been fired. There are also rumblings about Phaedra Parks return. If they bring Phaedra back, I swear for God. A new report alleges that Bravo's in talks with comedian Oscar winning actor Monique. Eva's not coming back.
Yeah, Eva's gone. Eva's dead.
But there doesn't seem to be any confirmation.
Go ahead, bro.
You're the TV exec. You know how this works.
Right.
Reaching out is, that's all that means. Somebody did a heat check with a representative.
Okay.
That's not even a confirmation that the request even got to Monique.
Okay.
Monique might have been reading that shit with the rest of the world, is like, my point. Right? Like, just because technically, if you send out an email to someone's legit representative.
Oh, legit. Wait, I was joking, but the rumor actually started with media takeout, which means we can all ignore it.
Oh, shit. I thought it was somewhere else. Maybe I'm.
Well,
other people picked it up from media takeout.
Speaking of that, I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about with the Shy. Because the gentleman who was rumored to have said those things about being, you know, the issue with the trans, like, that all started from a YouTube post.
Ah.
A random, oh, it was wow. a random, it was a random YouTube post with a person putting that on his Facebook page. And so, you know, and that was kind of, I was kind of questioning. I was like, yo, like, is there, did anyone, like, what made you think this was believable?
Mm.
Right? The way it kind of snowballed, it was just like fascinating to me. So I say, I like to say is that when those places, when those outlets report things, people can then sort of latch on to it. And then it's the snowball.
Just,
exactly.
It just goes out of control.
Snowball thing.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. So let's y'all go back on mute because we're going to talk a little bit about I May Destroy You.
Yeah, I'm an episode behind. Oh. I'm like one episode behind. So I can't
Oh, shit.
Up.
You might want to mute though because we don't want to get on the spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
So this week's, look, first of all, I know this show is not, I don't think it's probably getting the numbers of like an Insecure or something gets, but this show is phenomenal. And every week,
it is brilliant.
And every episode it's wild how they do it because every episode gets better, but it's totally different from the last episode, but still ties in some kind of way. Like, it is episodic television. But it's done, the way they're writing it and the way they're doing it is just so, because it'll be like humor in there sometimes, like, and then it'll just go super dark. And then, and the thing is, we're on episode
it's
five.
It's really well balanced.
And we're on episode five, and we still don't know what happened.
Right.
We still
so
don't
we did
know
get
exactly.
Some,
we get crumbs.
Some information.
Yeah, we get some crumbs.
I think that's intentional though. She's revealing it as it's revealed to her.
Exactly. And I think I said this when we talked about it before. I think they said it so we're kind of seeing everything through her eyes, like you said. So when she figures out something or when she gets some information, that's when we get it. You know, like we're supposed to be seeing everything through her vision, like her character's vision, Arabella, which is why sometimes it'll feel manic. And sometimes it'll feel dark because these are all the emotions that she's going through. Happy, you know, up, down, like she's all over the place. It's kind of hard to describe this episode for people who haven't been watching it. But the bottom line is like she's a writer, and she has these agents, you know, who are really, you know, pushing her to finish this book that she's writing because there's a big pull from it for it. And they decide to do a reading of a little piece of the book that she's written so far. In the process of that, she ends up sleeping with, I don't call it dating, but seeing her literary agent.
So I don't think he's an agent. So he's a fellow writer.
He's a writer. I thought he worked for. They share the agent.
I think they're all in the same publishing group somehow. He was brought on by her people to kind of
to help her
assist her with getting that second book rolling. So when he rapes her,
But this is interesting. Let's stop on that because. Her rape, again, because people think rape and they think, oh, he like grabbed her, he threw her down, he like, you know, ripped her clothes off or something like that. And that's not what happened. What happens is
she consented to consensual, like, protected sex.
Yes.
He took off the condom when she turned around.
Yes.
It's called stealthing.
I didn't notice what that was called.
And it is a form of rape. She did not consent to that unprotected sex. And then your man is wilding. Like, he doesn't even pull out.
Yo, he flooded it. Yo, bro, he flooded it. And then was just like, yo, what's popping?
I thought you knew.
And she's like, how would I know? Like, I was in. And the thing, and then it gets really weird. And this is why the show was brilliant. Because on a lot of other shows, if that would have happened, it would have been a massive scene. Like her fucking
throwing shit at him and punch. Get the fuck out of my house, you motherfucker! Nah!
If Lena Waithe wrote that,
oh my, Lena Waithe, she was shocked.
If Lena Waithe wrote that, the next scene would have been a protest.
Yeah, a protest. Get him arrested or something. Or she would have, she would have knocked him in the head, put a strap on, and fucked him in the ass.
Oh my.
But it, yeah. But anyway,
the thoughts and
these are my thoughts.
What Jeff is saying,
exactly, it's me, it's me. But what happened is, I've never been in this situation, but I feel like what happened is probably what happens more times than not, which is she's like bugging out, like, what would you do? Why'd you do that? But she doesn't really get outwardly angry.
That's so indicative. That's why the show is so brilliant, is because that's what rapists do. Like, he knew that that was wrong, and to put the onus on her to be like,
yes,
oh, I thought you knew. We can't feel that. How would I know?
Yeah,
you're behind me. Just kind of giving this like blurry, like, oh, you kind of consented to this.
Like, it's like, kind of your fault. Like, it's kind of your fault. Like,
you
it's kind of your
happening.
Fault.
Yeah. So then you're questioning yourself, like, wait, did I fuck up? Let me.
Yeah. Did I give him a signal? And that's why the show is brilliant. Like you said,
crazy. So we find out.
We find out.
Oh, sorry.
So that happens. So then.
So opening scene of the episode is that they are, you know, they wake up.
They're still dating.
Because this is an ongoing thing now.
Exactly.
Right. And she gets a call from the detective who was in charge of her case, which, I mean, can we just pause right here and say, it's so nice to see a rape being, like, taken seriously.
Yes.
Like, it's not America where the rape kid is just going to sit forever and she's laughed at for trying to report something that may or may not have happened because she doesn't remember.
But and the fact detective that is the black, that and the detective case, is the black woman.
And there's a black woman, yes. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel like, okay, there's some hope here.
Yeah.
Sorry,
my
kid is
No, that's all right.
Sorry,
right.
My
that's
all right. But anyway, so she's kind of seeing this guy, so she still kind of trusts him.
Exactly.
And then finds out kind of in a flippant way at the detective's office that he raped her too.
No. Okay, wait. Okay, so I didn't get that.
She's like, okay, I think Mikala, somewhere in the scene, or Arabella is saying, I didn't even know mouth rape was a thing for you to get, like, DNA out of my mouth and have, like, a tiny sample to be able to test. And the white lady that's there says, well, we don't know, you don't know what you don't know, right? So you don't know that, how are you going to report it if you don't even realize it's a rape? So then they have this little bit of conversation as Arabella's leaving that's like, hey, what about someone who's not
known
and you not know? Yeah. And the white lady's like,
yeah. Oh, you went on mute. Oh, okay. You got, okay.
Sorry.
No, but also, like, we skipped over part, which is she wakes up with the guy that quote unquote had raped her, and like I said, if they're dating now, it's kind of a thing, and she's into yoga. So she starts to do yoga like in the morning, and she starts to listen to a podcast. And on the podcast, somebody says, there's a Reddit about guys who do this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the condom off and they'll say, like, oh, you didn't know? Like, everything like that he did, like, it's on the Reddit. It's like, it's a pattern that they, that it's like a thing that people do to each other. And that's when she realizes, yo, this nigga raped me, you know? And then she runs out the house. Remember, she breaks out the house in just a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has to go to a store, buy some pants, and then that's when she goes to the police. But again, the show is just fucking, it's amazing, man. And then she calls him out. Great. Then she goes to do the literary thing to talk about her book, and then he's there, and she calls him out on the stage.
Which is incredible.
Incredible.
So brave. But also, like, fuck Terry for just not going on stage.
Yo, her friend.
Like, dude,
yo.
I was like,
What's up with Terry B?
I don't know that I like her.
I don't know if I like her too.
Nobody in the show is perfect, but like, she I can't put my finger on it. I'm sure we'll find out in the next episode why she's so flaky and like a bit of a hater. But
I think what's going to happen is when we finally get the details of what happened the night of the initial rape, I think one of the things we're going to find out is that Terry was more helped, is the right term, but Terry didn't stop it. Like Terry kind of left Arabella hanging. I think we're going to find out that Terry had something to do with
that happened first night?
The first night when they all went to the club and the initial rape, not, you know.
Was she there? I don't remember her being there, but I mean.
Yeah, Terry was there. Was she? Wait. No,
I
maybe she
think
wasn't.
Terry was there. I think Terry was on like the couch in the apartment, and then we didn't see her again until like the second episode or something.
Okay, maybe.
I don't think she was at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sums up with Terry.
So we say if you're not watching this show, you need to watch it. It is
the best show you're not watching. It will make you uncomfortable, but there is a balance there that makes all the awful things that are happening there bearable and light almost.
And I usually have to watch it twice because there's parts of the show, you know, they're in London, sometimes their English accents are so thick. I don't catch every word, so I usually watch it twice, and then the second time, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that's what she said. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so yeah, I May Destroy You is awesome. Yeah.
Great show.
We're gonna keep reviewing it. Maybe, but Naeem is almost caught up, bro. I don't know, bro. Gonna watch shit. No, he might. Yeah. Watch it. He ain't gonna watch that shit. He ain't gonna. Watch it. He learned how to smoke a hog in the ground.
No, seriously. Yeah.
How deep does the hole have to be when you drop the hog in there?
Well, it depends. I mean, you got to do like sand. Like it's wild complicated. It's wild complicated.
You cover it up too, right?
Yes, I would never be able to do that like in the backyard. That's not some shit I would be able to do.
You got to be like an open field with just some wood.
You got to go out to the country. You know what I'm saying? You got to go out
to the house. We'll take it.
We could dig out about 10 feet. me and Trav, the hog.
And how long do the hog got to sit in there?
Oh, them hog, my cousins, my people's do this. I told you my man and them invited me to their land in South Carolina talking about come chop some trees. So we could smoke. I was like, all right, nigga, I'm not. I'm play country. I'm not I ain't want to chop no wood country. You show me where the ribs at, baby. I ain't put
nigga,
bro,
be out there chopping wood and some new Tims.
Yeah. But nah, it's hours. You know, they put them hogs on, man, at like 2-3 in the morning, man. Them hogs be on for like 12 hours, bro.
Now, what do they do? They like salt the meat? Like you put those seasoning before you put it in the ground?
They salt them. You know, it cooks as, you know, the salt sort of sets into it. Then you have your own sauce, obviously. They basically use a mop. It's like a bucket full of sauce.
Yeah, because the hog.
Big-ass mop. Yeah. It's a hog, so you can't like take a brush to it.
Yeah.
You use a mop and it's a process.
That's probably good as hell.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Sound good as hell. Ain't good for your blood pressure, but it's good as hell.
You're definitely gonna die. You're definitely gonna die.
Everybody, every old black person I know who ate pork every day lived to be 100.
Get Junior,
their skin look great.
Get Junior a glass of ice water. He'll be all right.
and they cook with Crisco.
And lard.
And save the grease.
Yep.
I want to just mention, I think we have to mention Pop Smoke, who Universal dropped his album last week. Looks like it's going to come in number one, his posthumous album. I listened to it. I'm keeping real. I didn't love it. There was a couple songs in there I did like. I didn't love the album. Maybe it's just not for me. But God bless him and God bless his family who's going to, you know, make some money off this thing, and you know, because God bless him, he's died at 20 years old, which is insane, it's just horrific.
And we never heard anything else about it. Like, what's going on with the investigation?
Nope. You know, it is a black boy, especially a black boy from New York who was killed in LA, and we never solving that. That's just That's just paperwork. True. They just some paperwork and threw that in a manila envelope, sadly. But again, you know, there's a little controversy with it. Virgil Abloh did the first album cover, which was terrible. Like, it was horrific. I was like, bro, like, come on, bro. And so it became a thing where people were kind of posting their own album covers. I actually liked some of the album covers that I saw some of the fans posted. They ended up using like a black rose as the album cover, which I actually don't like because it's now going to be probably his only album, and you don't have his picture on the album. Like, I would have made sure his picture's on the cover of the album. I know, maybe that's some old school thing.
Maybe it was a matter of there not being, I mean, I guess it could have done an illustration. I was going to say it might have just been a matter of there not being pictures. A photo to use. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, not as a, maybe you would understand this better than me as a marketing person, but like, what would the process have been for them to try to use fan art as an album cover? Like, is that just paying somebody a quick pay?
I mean, they could have used fan art if they wanted to choose an image and interact.
Because I saw some good, I saw some really good ones. Like, I saw some, like,
whoa. But that, you know, that assumes that both management and the label looked through the art, chose one, got in contact with the person, did a contract with the person.
Yeah, it's
but
a process.
But the other thing is that I noticed,
you know what, you're probably right. The process of getting it done would have held up the album.
Yeah, but also what I've noticed is that there are a lot of people who now believe that a photo on the album is corny, which I always believe a photo on the album works. So they were probably trying to go for some symbolism or some shit with the black rose. Or people seem to think that image on the album is too easy, even though there are creative ways you can do it.
Yeah, 50 Cent executive produced the album, by the way. And speaking of which, there was a little controversy with 50 this week. He was on Lil Wayne Has a Podcast. And 50 was on there, and 50, you know, very entertaining guy. I always say he's one of the best interviews in hip hop. But he was talking to Lil Wayne, and they started talking about quote unquote exotic girls and how, you know, the girls in the black girls is like some regular shit you can see in the hood every day, and exotic girls are some girls they just fell off the boat, and why wouldn't a nigga want an exotic girl? You know, exotic girl, which means, you know, either Latin or mixed or of some other ethnicity besides
racially
black.
Racially ambiguous.
Racially ambiguous, exactly. So this caused a bunch of controversy. And
you know why it caused a bunch of controversy? Because these niggas is super ultra grown with super ultra grown kids.
Yeah.
Still talking like fucking teenagers in fucking two, like, from 90 something about some fucking exoticals. Are you fucking kidding me? I can go up to Dykeman and throw a rock and hit half these video bitches. No offense to them, but I'm just saying, it ain't about commonality. Like, these quote unquote exotical girls be from the same exact place as the regular ass black girls.
Yeah.
Y'all just for some reason think, like, the fact that at your big ass age, you're still so wrapped up in, you know, I want this looking girl. Like, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like it makes you look like you're, like, doper. And 50 especially, at least we know that Wayne actually has kids with regular-ass black women. So he's full of shit, too. Like, I mean, granted, Lauren is light-skinned or whatever. Yeah. But Lauren,
it's Toya,
and Toya, like, Toya is a hood girl.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter is a hood girl. Like, but a beautiful girl, you know, a beautiful mm-hmm. woman, you know what I mean? But it's like, we already know that 50 deadass ignores his dark-skinned kids. Like, deadass.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
And that was whatsoever. And that was the controversy I was about to say is because Regine, who's Wayne's oldest daughter,
right,
you know, posted, like, yo, I'm beautiful, I'm exotic. Like, Wayne... I was gonna say to his credit. I don't know if to his credit. Wayne didn't. He didn't. He laughed. He wasn't like, "Yeah, you're right." But he didn't. He didn't push back.
Right.
So that made Regine and Toya, who I think posted something like today, be like, "Bro, like
what the fuck?
Your oldest child is not that
right
at all." And
at
you know, y'all, she looks like you, nigga. Like, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
What are we talking about? Like, and you let that shit slide.
I'm just also like, nothing 50 ever does can shock me because A, he lives to provoke, but also like we've seen from his behavior, like 50 is a piece of shit. And in terms of like his interactions with people close to him, great businessman, great friend to some, whatever.
Yeah.
We've seen him treat his own children and the women who carried his children like pieces of shit.
Biblical.
And we've seen the same thing with Kevin Hart and his first wife. Like, we've seen this narrative too many times. And especially for it to come right now. You know, my friends who are dark skinned are like, you know, we're out here fucking hashtagging for y'all niggas, you know, fighting for y'all niggas. We on front lines for y'all niggas, for us as a people, for y'all. We already been through this whole thing where we've been like, y'all leave us out all the time. We just went through that shit like 3 weeks ago, which is like, y'all got to protect black women, protect black women, protect black women. And now, right now, this is a conversation you think is important to talk about some nigga. You are like, nigga, you are 40 something fucking years old. You cannot be serious. You know what I mean? It's just, it's baffling. It's really baffling that like, this is a narrative we still have to contend with in 2020, because there are women out there who are just like, yo, no matter what I do,
it's not enough.
My men don't fuck with us. Mm-hmm. And my heart breaks for them. And I mean, I can say, I don't consider myself an exotico, but there are men who put me in that category because of my hair and because my features look like I might be Trinidadian or might be East Indian or whatever. But like the number of times I've heard in my life, like, you would give me a pretty baby, like that's the first thing out of niggas' mouths.
No, but because
you know what I mean? It's like, that's what niggas think.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for. They want
you'll give me a pretty baby. We could have a pretty little girl. Her hair would be just like yours. Like, nigga, please get out my face.
Like that, like that's like gonna make you go, oh, okay, well, come on over.
And then you ain't gonna pay the child support. And then what?
For another kid that you about to ignore.
Exactly. You got a whole matching set of them niggas that you don't take care of.
Take a couple pictures on Father's Day and then keep it pushing.
Right, exactly.
Well, might as well keep it going with the 50 things. So, the next thing, it looks like they're trying to set up some type of verses between 50 Cent and T.I.
I'm not interested.
I'm tired of verses.
Tired of verses, but I'm not interested in that.
So
this need a little break.
This is causing a very interesting rift, bringing up old rifts, I should say, between North, South.
Right.
It's now like, you know, T.I. obviously called himself the King of the South. 50 is, you know, obviously from Queens and from New York. And it's bringing up a lot of old, to me, wounds, I guess, I thought were kind of gone. When I'm looking online with people talking about, oh, T.I. watch 50. And I'm like, and you know, 50 ain't got no, I'm like, wait a minute, hold time, that time. The 50's an easy guy to hate. You don't like him, you don't like him. That's cool. Like,
but he got hit.
Let's not lie now and say the man ain't got a gang of fucking hit records. Like a gang. Let's not act like he had one song. Like, let's not do some dumb shit. Like, you know. So, T.I. got online and he did a whole thing about, yo, basically like, fuck New York, yo. You know, y'all disrespect the South and da-da-da. So, I guess that's the next, it feels like that's the next, that's what Versus.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if, so, Swizz and Tim have said that they don't want to embrace, they don't want Versus to be a real battle. If the shit can't be good natured, if the shit can't be fun and light and spirit, they're not trying to actually have it be anything that has any beef. Because they were like, they said they would never do 50 and Ja for that reason.
And 50 and T.I. won't be friendly either. Well, now because they both some shit talking ass niggas.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And they're both
below the belt.
I don't believe you can bring 50 into anything like this, to be honest with you, if you want to keep the shit light. And also, I don't think that the fans can keep it light. You know, like people will put too much on it. I don't think it would be fun. I don't think that's the thing. Versus has become something that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be fun. Like, I would not be. I might tune in just to see what's happening, but I don't. That's not something I'm going to be like, ooh, I'm excited about this. This is going to be. I don't think it would be fun.
Coming off of, you know, Jada, Uncle Jada being drunk.
Drunk ass Uncle Jada.
And then you're going to this darkness. So we'll see. It's not confirmed or anything, but they've been kind of like throwing it out there to see what people say. Let's talk a little bit about this fucking nigga Kanye West, man.
Yeah, let's talk literally a little bit. Because I'm not trying to give Kanye, I can't do this with him another year. I cannot. I do not have it in my spirit or on my, I just do not have it for Kanye Omari West. I can't with this nigga.
So he announced
a few days ago.
He fake announced, tweeted.
Yeah, you're right. He tweeted that he's running for president. Now, mind you, there's, for those who don't know, it seems like a lot of people don't really know this. There's a huge process to running for president. There's paperwork you have to fill out.
Yeah,
file, and there is a deadline.
Yes.
And there's a deadline.
File certain paperwork by certain dates. You can't just jump up and say, I'm running. Right. And then you obviously have to be financed. Like, it's not cheap to, you know, travel around the country and, you know, and pay your staff and, you know, do all these things. So it's really a bunch of bullshit. But Forbes, who is, to me, losing credibility by the day, jumped out the window and did an interview with this dude, which they printed today, talking about this. He said he's going to call his party the birthday party. Because if I win, it's going to be like it's everybody's birthday. And that's a quote. He's going to go with a Wakanda agenda. This is the type of shit this nigga's talking about.
It's a problem.
He's on the Planned Parenthood, having place inside cities to do the devil's work. He claims he had Corona in February. That's what he claims. That's what he's saying.
That might be the only believable thing that nigga has said.
Right. Out of
probably
of
the last 2 years.
He says he's never voted in his life, but he's gonna run for president.
We knew that. He said that during the first Trump campaign, which is part of the reason why I've been like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, he said that after Trump got elected, which is part of the reason why I've been like, what the fuck are you talking about every time he dips his toe into politics for the past however long.
And he says that he's purposely trying to siphon off black votes from Joe Biden.
Right.
So the whole thing about, and then he says he's not fucking with Trump no more.
Here's my problem.
That's the bullshit.
My first problem is that Forbes did the interview, period. Because I do understand that people feel like there's something here to talk about. Mm-hmm. But like, even though this probably isn't really going to be an election, even though it's probably a Kanye album or some other Kanye bullshit or whatever, the fact is, we took Trump too lightly for too long, and that nigga got too far. And while I don't think Kanye could actually win a primary, there definitely are some hard-headed-ass younger voters
who would
get on the Kanye boat just cause.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even fucking Two Chainz dumbass was like, I wish I hadn't early voted. Which, nigga, you did not early vote for the actual presidential election. Like, everybody's stupid. Yeah. So, and that's the problem. Everybody's fucking stupid. So some people are just going to be like, oh, I'm going to vote for Kanye just because it's Kanye, because people still don't get it. But my thing is, like, we can't handle this lightly. We can't handle it as entertainment news. Like, it's either like a full out ignore, or it's just like everything is like, he's wrong, he's lying. This isn't possible. This isn't something that can actually happen. I'm just saying, it can't be like, ha ha ha, Kanye said this. Like, we gotta shut him down. It's like, shit is too real right now. I don't understand why people are playing. I really don't. Shit's too real.
People are dying.
Literally.
Like, it's so real.
The COVID numbers are worse than they were when it first started.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
people are dying of simple shit because of what Trump is doing. People are dying for insulin. Yeah. Simple things.
Yep. And to me, I'm always down with a conspiracy theory, but this one is kind of blatant to me because obviously this guy's down with Trump. He's down with Jared. Those are his buddies. It just came out that a couple of his businesses got like $2 million from the PPP stuff. So why would I think all of a sudden he's not going to Trump, you know, help Kim Kardashian get people out of jail? Why would I think all of a sudden now he's turning their back on this cat? I believe that Trump or Jared told and conferred with him to do this on purpose. Like, yo, we need to do some shit.
I wouldn't put it beneath them.
I can't believe he turned his back on Trump now. Why?
I still think, though, that it isn't even a political thing. This nigga just wants attention for something. Okay, because he has been saying off and on that he was going to run in 2020. He's been saying it. Mm. He's been saying it since 15. So it's like, but I think there's an album in the works. I'm not trying to minimize people with actual diagnosed mental health issues when I say this. I believe Kanye is off his meds. Kanye is diagnosed bipolar. He has had prescribed medication for years that he chooses not to take. I think Kanye's off his meds. That's what I think.
What do you think, bro?
Look, I think that, you know, he just did this deal with Gap. I think he is looking to, you know, move the needle. Mm-hmm. I think Forbes has, for a very long time, like no one in the financial sector looks at Forbes as anything other than a magazine, right? Like right. Forbes is not a reputable source on a large scale in that way, right? Like they still need clicks and they still need to move the needle. It's a magazine, it's a business. So I understand why they feel the need to go and have this conversation with one of the bigger stars in the world, except that when you do that, you just, you keep etching away at your credibility as a legitimate source of information. Just to kind of chime in too for the PPP loans, I'm not a fan of Kanye. He's not, you know, you can listen to any show where his name comes up and get my views, right? None of that's changed. But the PPP loan is not something that Kanye's company should not have applied for. It would have been so I'm seeing this more and more, and I'm seeing what people are saying is that, you know, this millionaire or this wealthy person acquired PPP loans. Mm-hmm. Not every company was out of the, you know, just because you're a millionaire and you have a company, you still can fall in the guidelines of a PPP loan.
Okay.
That it does not negate your eligibility. The issue that people had with places like Ruth Chris and Shake Shack was that it was twofold a little bit. So Shake Shack was a publicly traded company, which means they could easily get funding. They can find the funding.
They can make a phone call.
Yes. And then with Ruth Chris, what they did was they used a very technical term. This was the loophole that we talked about before, which was they used the fact that they did not have more than 500 employees at each location. And that was the loophole that was used for a place like Ruth Chris. And so, yes, there are companies that have people who are on the boards or who are owners and operators of those companies that are very wealthy and are not going to need PPP. That does not negate the fact that they might have had 150 employees. Those employees were needing to keep their jobs and needing to keep their paychecks. And so, yes, if he got $2 million and he was able to sustain 100 and I think it was like 106 people, or 110 people or whatever that number was. And there are going to be guidelines, right? Like in order for the loan to be forgiven, in order for PPP to be forgiven, you will probably be audited and you need to have guidelines. Those funds have to be paid to
employees. It ain't free money just to take a while out.
You can't just fuck it off, right? Look, you can have to pay it back.
You have
to pay it back. And it's a very short window. It's cheap money, meaning it's not a high interest rate, but it's a very short window to pay it back if it's not forgiven. So I say all that to say, and, you know, I try to make sure we don't conflate things, you know, whenever I could. Like, he's a lot. Okay, but what he did with PPP was not a bad thing.
He didn't steal the money.
Exactly. Because also, just the FYI, your PPP, those people are capped at $100,000.
Okay.
And what that means is that if you got a motherfucker that was making $250,000, he's not making $250,000 under this. When you put in that paperwork, it's capped at $100,000. So there are lots of different things.
It's a lot of shit with it.
So when I see people say, oh, he's a genius because he got $2 million. Well, you know, he didn't really pocket $2 million, one. Yeah. So he didn't kind of get over on anybody. And two, you know, there are 106 people, technically, there are 106 people, right, on paper that show us that they were able to keep their jobs based on this loan, which was literally the purpose of that loan. But, you know, back to him. I mean, he is what he is. We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. You know, and we gotta treat him like Terry Crews. Like, for their own good, we've gotta start ignoring them. And by ignoring them, I mean completely.
I was actually going to bring Terry Crews up next because it kind of falls in line with this fuckery. So Terry Crews, I don't really even know what this nigga's trying to do, man. Like, he's been on this kind of crusade. I take it as he's been on this crusade basically telling all the white folks that he's working for, I'm not one of them. And I love y'all, and please keep these checks coming. He's brought up black supremacy. He's basically kind of saying like don't give black people too much power because it's gonna be fucked up.
Listen, man. We know a jive ass nigga when we see one, man. And that's all he is, man. And you know
what? He's the cousin that come over Thanksgiving, and when he coming in, you'd be like, oh, this thing.
He want to other side you to death. He's an other side you to death type dude. But here's
the
things I will say is, I you know, unlike some other people, like, I genuinely think Terry believes what he says. But I'm saying I don't think he's, you know what I think he is? I think we've said this before. I think he's one of those isolated dudes. Anytime you see guys that are only with their wives in these very sort of contained, isolated bubbles, you know, this type of stuff tends to happen. Because guess what? If Terry was at the cookout with Jimmy and Earl and Bobby
and Ray,
and he said some dumb shit like that,
they would be like, "Nigga, shut your ass up!
Get the fuck out of here!
Fuck you talking about?
Hollywood ass nigga."
And a conversation would have ensued, but what happens is that I think he's in the bubble, and we kind of noticed this with Gabrielle Union, the way he threw her under the bus, right?
Yeah.
Because what he was doing was operating in a very sense of self, right? Because it did not happen to him.
To me, yeah.
It did not happen to me. I could not fathom, or I don't believe that this is happening, period. Yeah.
She must have did something, because these white folks are nice to me.
Right. Well, somebody said this, but speaking of the white folks is nice to me, somebody said that Terry cannot get behind, and I don't know if this is fair, but there's some truth in it. They said Terry cannot fully get behind Black Lives Matter without qualifying it, because he is used to being the token Black person. He's used to being the exception. So a certain amount of, there's something in him that can't even help but still qualify to these white people, like, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it's like he can't.
I'm not one of them.
He needs to still be the special one. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not one of them.
And if I had to bet, I would think Terry has some challenges confidence-wise. While we might not think about it like that, but when you see a guy who has, you know, he has an established career, and Terry is still doing the comical dance.
Yeah.
And he's
still taking his shirt off, popping his titties and all,
like,
that.
And waving his menstrual shit.
Those titty popping ass niggas.
And then I look at a guy like The Rock, right?
Yeah.
Who also, his body has been his, you know, his meal ticket, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing none of that weirdo shit. He got on, like, a regular ass shirt.
Yep.
You know, fucking with the kids at the pool. It's
the only time you see Rock showing his body on is when he's working out.
Or on camera, and it's
on camera. Yeah. It's never silly shit.
I say all that to say there does seem to be, like, he knows that kind of moves the needle for him, and that kind of gets his attention. Like, I totally imagine him walking into a dinner party and some white woman asking him to do fucking make his chest jump, and he's, like, literally at a dinner party making his titties move at the fucking dinner table. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I gotta say again, these views are mine, and I'm talking total shit. So, but this, his actions now are explaining to me how that scenario where old boy grabbed his dick could have happened.
What you mean?
Absolutely.
But, well, I'm explaining that because he seems to be, like the bruh said, the kind of you know, I'm not gonna shake no trees. I'm not gonna make no waves. And I could see that white man being in his face, like kind of being a little, I guess, flirty, like a little aggressive. Flirty.
And him not shutting it down.
Yes, because Terry didn't want to be the guy that I'm the big black guy. I don't want to scare nobody in here. So I'm a play along.
I think he shrinks.
I'm not saying that Terry wasn't a victim.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I think Terry shrinks himself.
Yeah.
When he's doing the comical shit.
Yeah.
When he's smiling and he's taking the shirt off and he's doing all the dance moves and all of that shit.
And locking and all that.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, my nigga, we get it. You can dance. Yeah. Like, you've been doing that same move same for like 12 move. Years, bro.
Word.
Like,
word.
It's okay. But word. Aside from that, I think that what we also saw was what I mentioned about Don Lemon, and which was bringing a guy like Terry on, knowing his views and knowing his stances, was very indicative of what that entire conversation about that we had about Don was, which was he was looking to have someone who would move the needle and rile people up.
Give me on a shade room.
Yes, he is not looking for insight and dialogue. He is looking for contrarian views that he can challenge on air, that he can go viral with, that he can move the needle with. This is not about having conducive and productive conversations.
Mm.
Don wants to prove his wokeness now. Like, Don has gone past the responsibly woke to wanting to now prove his wokeness in the same way he was determined to fucking coon and clown fucking 6 years ago. Like, he's just gone to the other side of the extreme. The funny thing was Dom was talking to him for his former self, because that's the type of dumb shit Don used to say all the goddamn time. So I would like to challenge Don to be like, well, nigga, what the fuck made you switch over? Because he ain't never talked about that.
Don the type of nigga that he come over. He's like, Don, just pass me the hot sauce, nigga. Like, we ain't got
to shut your ass up.
Shut your ass up, nigga.
You know, yeah, man. Like he's just really the kind of dude, man, that is just reeking of looking like whichever way the wind was blowing.
Yep.
Whichever way the wind is blowing, that's the kind of avenue he's going down. And I've been taking in like quite a few programs. Like, again, I've been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube and things like that. But I've also been, you know, watching a lot of PBS stuff, you know, just taking that stuff in. And I'm like, yo, there is an abundance of smart, you know, well-read folks in these spaces that you can have on your show and have a conversation. But he can't dominate them. He can't, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
he's not able to sort of direct the conversation with folks like that. And so, and I get it. They're not famous, right? Terry is famous. Terry's going to say some dumb shit. And we're going to get our moment. So it is what it is. And listen, man, he's in the television business. And, you know, the game is the game.
Terry was on with your man Roland Martin, too. Did you see that interview?
Oh, no,
I'm never watching that.
Was on with Roland Martin where? Roland Martin still has a TV show?
He's got an internet, the internet show. Matter of fact, the Roland Martin interview came on, I think, a day or two before the Don. But I think it would take the same day because Terry had on the same shit.
Fuck both them niggas.
I want to say a piece to a woman who's been catching a lot of heat lately, Keisha Lance Bottoms. She got the Rona. She says she's asymptomatic, but one of her, she has four children. I think maybe the oldest, I think she said, has the Rona. The others hadn't been tested last time she spoke about it. I don't know any new results. She said
three people in the house had it.
Okay.
So her, Rena, Monica, and somebody else.
Yeah, maybe.
I saw the tweet where she said 8 days ago, someone in her house tested positive.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Well, she knew somebody was positive and continued to like live her life waiting for the test results.
Yeah, well, she gets
I thought she said that once they found out they were positive, they quarantined. But had they known previously, they would. I don't know. I got to reread it.
Someone was tested positively first, and then
She kept moving and
there's like a week and a half in between where she should have been quarantined and she wasn't.
And so, you know, she says she's asymptomatic, says she felt fine, she doesn't have any symptoms, but, you know, regardless, she has it anyway, so she's I think she's going to be quarantining probably as of now to try to see it through. And then over this July 4th weekend in New York, in Chicago, and in Atlanta, and particularly those three cities, it was just mass like shootings and kids getting shot. And, it was fucking terrible.
Houston too. Wasn't Ricky Smiley's daughter in Houston?
Oh, I didn't know where she got shot.
I think that was Houston. I'll double check. I think she got shot in Houston.
Yeah, she was shot. She got shot three times.
I do want to say, I think that there's an uptick, right? And I think we normally
see have been inside and now they're outside wilding.
Well, yes, but we also normally see an uptick
the summer
during
uptick.
Summer months, right?
Yeah,
see that uptick, right?
Yeah.
And hot. I understand that the corona has made everyone else sort of, you know, you're not going to work. Guess who's still going to work? Okay, fucking dope boys. Okay, the corona ain't stopping the street life.
It definitely ain't.
So you got the ability to wear masks and gloves in the street without being questioned.
True.
Right? And so do I think that there's an uptick? Sure. I also think that there is a surge in how these crimes are being reported because a lot of these media outlets are pro-police. And what they are trying to do, in my opinion, is to paint a purge or anarchist sort of society occurring without police.
That's where I was going.
Yes, because the next thing is, as people start to, you know, voice their concerns, because let's be fair, we all know that people voice their concerns, right? So quiet as is kept, I know that we sort of use Chicago has now become proxy for black-on-black crime, right? Like, we say that instead of black-on-black crime, right? Like, we understand that people are out in the streets all the time about gun violence, that they are trying to enact, you know, legislation and laws and trying to prevent youth from being out there. And I just think it's, you know, look, man, I seriously think that there is, I don't want to say conspiracy, but I think there's an uptick in the reporting and not necessarily an uptick with the activity in relation to other years.
Well, I agree with you there, but again, me and my conspiracy theories, we've all kind of heard these things, and I kind of believe some of it to be true is police unions and police men and women are pretty pissed off about the protesting, about the, you know, demonizing of them. In a lot of cases, correctly, they've beaten the shit out of people on film and them feeling like they got their hands tied behind their back and they can't do their jobs the way they're used to doing them, which is beating the shit out of people. And so I think that a lot of this stuff is happening, and I think that police are just slow, way slow to react. Like, you know, like, yeah, well, you know, we'll get there. It's like, you know, yeah, we're going to show these people, like you said, to your point, that it's going to turn into the purge or anarchy if y'all don't let us do what we need to do. And so, again, I agree with you about the uptick that always happens every summer, especially in July and August, because it's hot as shit. A lot of people ain't got air conditioners, so they're outside on the street all day and all night, and they're irritated, and people, you know, things escalate. But I think the police are even less responsive than maybe they have been in years past. That's kind of what I'm feeling. But even with the whole fireworks thing, whole fireworks thing, like, again, it was great to watch some fireworks, but it was like, yo, there's a lot of fireworks going on here. Like, ain't no, and the cops ain't stopping shit. They like, go for y'all's. Yeah.
Let's not forget,
like, every community center, pool, everything is closed. Still closed.
That's real. That's real,
like,
too.
You may be out getting your nails done and, you know, your Hobby Lobby is open, but these kids don't have anywhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
And it's hot.
Yeah.
Hanging in a pool in Houston. Yeah, I'm going to be angry enough to.
Yeah. Houston, Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago in the summertime. But yeah, but this weekend was, you know, it was a lot of destruction and mayhem going on this weekend. I also wanted to talk about just the uptick of the corona. We talked about that. I wanted to talk about schools, which you two particularly are going to have to deal with. The reopening of schools. They're trying to set up a reopening of schools. Now, I know here in New York, I don't know if they're doing this, trying to do this in New Jersey too, bro, but like the plan I've heard is, you know, obviously it's 5 days of school in a week. So what they're going to do is they're going to do a two on and two off thing. And then Fridays will be like Zoom classes for everybody. That's in New York City, like just the five boroughs. I don't know the outskirts, but that's, and so like you've got a child, they'll go to school Monday and Wednesday. And then, you know, another child will go to school Tuesday and Thursday. For me, I don't know what to do here, what the solution is, but that's tough because if the parent, especially the single parent, goes back to work and you got like a seven-year-old, there's a seven-year-old in the crib alone 2 days a week, 3 days a week.
Did they specify whether or not this would be high school or?
No, K to 12. K to 12. I don't know how they're going to do that, man. I don't know.
That sounds logistically foolish, right? Like just as a, like that just doesn't even sound like a feasible plan. I don't know how that made it past whomever introduced that in the meeting. Whoever was on Zoom and said that shit, however it made it past that initial Zoom call.
Yeah, like the fuck is he talking about? Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that I know in high school, they have these sort of, in our particular school, they have these sort of A days and B days and stuff like that. And they're trying to do that, sort of do a, like a pod, like these kids go on these days and, you know, but this is high school. Like these kids are, you know, Jordan's 17. She's going to be a senior this year.
Yeah.
I don't even think I can't help her with none of that shit, no way. So it ain't like she asking, I don't know what's, you know, lessons.
She's mature enough to obviously stay, she needs to stay in the house alone, like for a day. It's not crazy. Yeah, yeah.
I think that you can probably do that in the schools, and then maybe what you can do is sort of, even if it's, you know, some towns you have smaller school populations, right? Like you might only have 400 kids in high school, you know, maybe you let those kids zoom in for their stuff, and then you can now spread out, you know, use those classrooms, use those other locations, and put, you know, this pod of kids, six kids in this class. Ms. Johnson got six kids in her class. And, you know, because there's no way you're going to just be able to tell people that they're going to leave a seven-year-old, an eight-year-old home all day. Like, that's just not feasible.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how this is supposed to work. I don't know how this is supposed to work. And honestly, even, you know, like, again, you know, Jordan is a very mature girl for her age, but there's a lot of, you know, little young whippersnappers, a day alone for a 16-year-old, it's going to be a lot of fucking and hanging out and smoking. And it's going to be a whole lot. It's going to be basically like, it's going to be like sanctioned hooky. It's going to be sanctioned hooky. Like, because I don't think the way to, from what I remember from what I'm reading, the classes that they're going to have online are not going to be like 8 hours.
Yeah, they're not traditional school. I don't know, because de Blasio says that what we're looking at is like 3 days on, 2 days off, and students can decide whether they're going to participate online or at home. So it feels like you can't have two programs going separately. It seems like the kids will have to be able to zoom in to the class as the class is happening in real time, if you are also going to have students in class.
Mm. I mean, I think that these kids are going to have significant challenges.
Yes.
Again, not just with the logistics, but also learning for a lot of children. It's about structure and repetition. And when you are interrupting that structure and that repetition, you are not allowing them the consistency that is needed for them to learn. Because ultimately,
especially young kids.
Exactly.
Especially young kids.
If the goal for them is to, you know, develop their minds, develop their habits, because that's really what you're trying to do. You don't want a kid just to fucking memorize shit, right? Like, you want them to understand concepts. You want them to learn properly. That shit is that's a job, man. Like, that takes consistency. That takes, you know, some stick-to-itiveness. And I think that, you know, if you have kids that are coming in, like, who the fuck wants to be the kid that got it going on fucking on Monday?
Yeah. Right,
right. I want to fucking go on Monday.
Exactly.
I ain't going to school.
Yeah, exactly. I ain't going. Right. And also, yeah. A lot of these kids, you know, especially kids, you know, like, I guess the different economics, like, a lot of these kids getting out of the house and going to school is, like, a welcome break.
Reprieve, yeah.
Yeah, reprieve. There might be, like, mad people in the house and, you know, in and out, or maybe the house is, maybe there's domestic violence. There's, like, all kind of things going on in the crib. Plus, we're forgetting one of the main things, food.
Yeah, for lunch mm-hmm. and stuff. Well, I think, honestly, that's lunch, probably you know, that's why. Stuff. I think that's probably why New York schools, because that's why New York, they didn't want to close New York schools. That's why they held out as long as they could to close New York schools, was because we have a very large population in New York City of homeless kids in the New York City school system.
In the shelters and all
and,
that.
In the shelters, and because they recognize that giving up those meals, that, like, a lot of kids, that's, like you said, that's where they get their meals. So I feel like that might be part of the push to
I'm open. Sure. I'm sure it is.
But at the same time, we have an enormously overcrowded system. We already have, like, a dearth of teachers, too many students, not enough classroom space, not enough functional classroom space. So how do you work that out when you have to divide kids up, spread them out, and you don't have, like you said, even the most advanced kids still need one-to-one touch at some point. Like, you still need one-to-one at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I really am concerned for what... you know, this period, how this period is going to impact, like, our entire K-12, our kids, our entire K-12 population right now, going forward. Like, but especially, like Sean and Inka said, the preschoolers, from preschool up until, like, the end of elementary school, your whole shit is about routine. This is what we do after we read our book, we take a nap. After we take the nap, we go over here. After we do this, then we do that. What do? When we come in, we change our shoes. We take our coat off. We say hello. Like, it's not just about the learning. It's about also, like, adapting the your social skills, your boundaries, your establishment of boundaries, your interpersonal relationships, following directions, like, all of it. And a lot of parents just don't have the bandwidth, the training, the wherewithal to put that in place at home. And so now, even if you put them back into the nursery school system, there's more rules, more stuff, more everything on top of that. It's just, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot.
I even think about those kids, like, bro, what's the, we talked about it one time on the podcast. I saw a special documentary. It's a high school in, I think it's in Newark, run by this principal who was got the washing machines for the kids.
So they can wash their clothes.
You know, but schools like that, where this man is, like,
I think it's West Side High School.
It is West Side High School. Like, that school, and there's schools like that in every city. That school is literally like a beacon of light. Like, kids can, because he set it up so kids can come there in the evenings to keep
them
up.
Yeah, he set it up. Yeah.
So it's all these other things that, like, at risk kids use school for, besides education. Like, that's dead now. Like, where are those kids going now? Like, it's like Nye said, it's really scary, and the ripple effect of this is, you know, we don't even know what it's going to mean in five. There's people who are going to graduate high school, you know, who will be lacking because of Corona, because they didn't get the chance to have proper school.
Yeah,
like, you know, I don't know what it's going to mean, like, educationally and socially.
Well, yeah, already they are, you know, a lot of schools are doing away with SATs. A lot of schools are judging your GPAs on a scale a little bit now. It's already impacting higher education, right? Which is, you know, a big part of what I'm kind of going through right now, which is, you know, Jordan was prepped and she was doing her boot camp or her SAT prep and all that. And then it was like, boom, SAT canceled.
Just like that.
So
ain't nothing you could do, you know?
You know, so we just got to, you know. But yeah, man, I think that it's going to be very interesting to see what the next steps are.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to wrap it up on that note. It was a good show. I enjoyed this.
Oh, one thing, and I know I had to dip out, because shout out to the FedEx guy who – went right past my building's elevator to drop a big ass, heavy ass package that I can't carry by myself in front of my mailbox.
He didn't even attempt.
Nigga went straight. Like, I let him in the building, and then I was like, why is my doorbell not ringing? And I checked the delivery status and it said delivered. That's why I was like, let me go downstairs because motherfuckers steal around here. Yeah. But I had to push that bitch down the hallway. Anyway, I do want to encourage, we didn't talk about it today, but I want to encourage everyone to watch the documentary on Netflix, Disclosure, which is about the representation of trans people in TV, film, media, and trans women specifically. It talks about something that I hadn't really thought about before, which is that we don't really pay as much attention to trans men because it's easier for them to blend in, maybe because there's not as quite qualified, defined characteristics of what we expect men to look like. Like, you can be a trans man and be kind of, for lack of a better word, like soft, short, a little overweight, a little round, a little bit, nobody's going to look at you differently. But if you're a woman of any kind and you have any kind of features that are too angular, too stark, too whatever, people all of a sudden start saying you look like a man, you know, that type of thing. But you know, it was kind of about how only 80% of people know somebody who's trans. So for most of us, what we know of trans people is what we see on television. Mm. And up until very recently, you either had men dressed up as women, which made us think that trans women are playing a role, right? They're men playing a role because that's what we're seeing them as visually. Or they were displayed as sex workers, hookers, prostitutes, you know, drug addicts, very marginalized fringe characters. And it was just arguing about how, which is a conversation we as white people can relate to. It's a similar conversation that we have about seeing our own stories on screen, right? Mm. Just being able to see trans people playing trans roles and having an understanding of all the different spectrums of trans people, having an acceptance of trans people, but how big a part the media plays in that. So it was also speaking to how important it is that there actually are trans people who get these roles, that get trans roles moving forward, rather than it being a man who's in a wig and, you know, whatever, that it actually be.
Do they talk about they talk about Pose on the screen?
They talk about Pose. They talk about Orange is the New Black. You know, the Pose characters are in it. And why is her name escaping me from Orange is the New Black?
Jesus.
Laverne Cox.
Yeah, Laverne Cox. But even with Laverne Cox, and even with India Moore from Pose, even Angelica Ross, who was going through transition, there's argument that, like, they kind of, they look like they are accepted sometimes because they look feminine.
India Moore looks like a woman,
right? They look, or even a who writes for Pose? Why am I forgetting everybody's name today? You know who?
Janet Mock.
Yeah, even Janet Mock, who had her transition when she was a teenager, Janet, right? Yeah. So it's like these people, they present the way we think women should look, so we're quicker to accept them, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just, it's really worth watching. And one of the things I've been challenging myself on, and my friends and I have been having this conversation, I've been seeing the conversation on Twitter and Instagram, is that as we are demanding white people to show up in a different way, right, and acknowledge us in a different way than we have been before, we also have to challenge more, you know, challenge with like greater insistence the ways in which we in turn still carry on oppressive tendencies to those who are more marginalized than us, right? So that means black men to black women, that means both of us to black trans and black LGBT communities, that means all of us to our differently abled, disabled people. Like, we have to also expand our thinking and our awareness of people who are othered than us in some way, the same way that we are demanding that white people do for us, because we do carry on patriarchy and bias and ableism to people who are Black people, but even yet more marginalized like, than we are.
Like,
for some
like the sub, black
exactly. Red, so like sub, we, so like yeah. if we're really, so like if we're really about this shit, like we got to be all the way about it, you know. And I'm yeah. and I'm trying to challenge myself on that as well.
I like disclosure for that reason because I started to ask myself questions like, wait a second, am I? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is this what I'm seeing? Has this colored my perception, and in what ways?
Right, because I realized that I wasn't. Personally, I realized that I wasn't advocating as much for trans issues that I saw, right? I would speak up on LGBTQ
and they get killed more than everybody.
Exactly.
Right?
And I was like, you know what? I have to be more vocal about that. I have to, you know, not saying that it's not my fight to fight, but it's my fight to support, right? Because if we're all black people, I can't say Black Lives Matter and I not include them in that, right? I can't talk about how vulnerable black women or black men are and not also talk about that in terms of trans women who like have a life expectancy of 30 something years old. You know what I mean? Like I get killed literally just for existing because a nigga feels a way that they're attracted to them.
Yeah.
Like your man, Chef Roble.
Yeah. Like Chef Roble, which we'll get into that. Like that, if you guys get a chance, I want y'all, I'll just call his, account out so y'all can go look for yourself. There is a conversation between an educator, his username,
the conscious god, I think that's
yeah
his name.
His name is consciously, wait, why can't I see his name? The consciously L-E-E. And look at his IGTV stories. He has been having a back and forth with Chef Roble because he was talking about disclosure. And Chef Roble was saying that not disclosing could get a trans woman killed. That's the kind of shit that gets them killed. Mm. And he's like, my nigga, like, this is the problem right here. And he's speaking to him like in real street language, right? Like, this is the problem.
Yeah,
right
yeah, 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 very
yeah, because not only do, but that's the problem. The problem that is that the onus is on the trans person to disclose, whereas trans people get killed for disclosing. And for not disclosing, like it's all about the fact that, like, there are stories of trans women who got killed because they disclosed that they were trans. There are also stories of trans women who got killed because somebody found out after the fact that they were trans. Mm. The problem isn't in the trans people; it's in the straight people, right? It's in the cis people. So that's what he was trying to argue with Roble is like we have to shift that framework of, you know, your shame that you're attracted to someone who is a woman, you know, who has had gender reassignment, or whatever. That's about you having an issue with your attraction. That's not about the person being who they are, right? So, like, that's the shit you got to figure out. And, I mean, I know we have a long way to go with that conversation because there's a lot of unlearning to do. And I do think that some people expect it to be very quick, but there's a lot of unlearning to do. But we have to be willing to do it. And we have to be willing to have the conversation about it because we sound just like these white people when we be like, we don't need to talk about that. Why you got to bring that up?
Why you got to bring that up?
We don't want to hear about that all the time.
Now's not the time.
Now's not the time. We don't need to talk about that all the time. I don't really see how that relates to me. It's not important. We sound just like white
people. I mean, notwithstanding because what the fuck is that? Sorry.
Well, right.
Yeah, that was different. So, again, to our listeners, I encourage you guys to watch that and to also just have that thought. And I saw it framed in a way that I think if white people could, this is what I'm trying to do. I think if white people could do it, it would be helpful to them. The question isn't like, am I sexist or am I biased or am I prejudiced? It's more, is this thought sexist, bias, or prejudice? Is this, you know, belief sexist, bias, or prejudice? Because we make it about us as people and we get so defensive that we're not willing to be open about what we can improve upon. But I think if you make it about the thought, if you make it about something you learned, if you make it about a tradition, if you make it about, if you move that separate from who you are as a person and just be like, is this thing in and of itself like a problem? It's easier to address and fix and confront.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
We all gonna try to do better.
All right. All right, we're gonna wrap it up on that note.
Y'all don't do shout-outs anymore?
Oh, go ahead, go give a shout-out.
Go
ahead, give a shout-out.
I don't know if I have... You got one, Inca?
I kind of do. Okay. In a roundabout way. So, I just want to give a shout out to all of the first world problems I'm not allowed to complain about anymore because of where we are in society.
Right.
For instance, I have a very specific brand of like toilet paper and paper towels and things that
you
I
can't
like
find
that are nowhere,
yep,
anywhere in my town. And
ain't nothing wrong, ain't nothing worse than changing it. Ain't nothing worse than changing your toilet paper brand.
I've been stressed out this whole time.
I found my man. I used Scott. My man across the street got it. I was so happy. Sure. I bought like 16.
At least you have a bodega across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, you ain't got there. Yeah, I feel you on that. It's been hard to complain about certain things in light of,
or like all the travel that I'm missing. Like we have this year's stat, woo, and now we just have airline vouchers.
Shout out to Essence, by the way.
Shout out to
New Orleans.
Shout out to New Orleans. We miss you. All right, we're gonna roll.
All right, guys.
We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you, Inka.
We'll have you
back again. Because none of us,
me and
Sean ain't watching the show, so just be ready to come back.
Exactly. Be ready to come back.
Just be ready to come back. All right. Thank y'all. Later.
All right. See y'all later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.